Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Man, the name says it all. If you're rocking with us, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. And now you can leave us 5 stars on Spotify as well. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can get alert of all our great content right away. Now, I'm Pat P. Let's get to our great show. First quarter of our show. Yes, we're in the offseason, but it's always a first quarter. And with that being said, Pat P., I haven't got an opportunity to really talk to you and dissect what just transpired with the Minnesota Vikings a few weeks ago. The NFL draft took place in Viva Las Vegas. An outstanding experience. The one gripe I probably had regarding that weekend was it was extremely hot. Boy, was hot. Yeah. And Pat P, working outside with a full suit on when it's like 90 plus and hot and dry, it's tough. But you know what? I'd do it all over again if I could. Outstanding event. The anticipation for the draft, me and Pat P, you know, we talked about the draft, you know, weeks leading up to the event. The anticipation was big, but the actual event was bigger. So, Pat, I'd like to get your thoughts on, you know, some of the things that took place with your organization. Right. We saw the unthinkable happen multiple times with the Vikings during the draft, the entire weekend of the draft, where we saw the Vikings trade with divisional teams. Mm-hmm. Right. They traded out of the 12th spot with the Detroit Lions. Detroit ended up getting Jameson Williams with that pick. The Vikings traded all the way back to the 32nd spot to go get talented, hard-hitting safety, Lewis Seen. What was your reaction, number one, to see – what was your reaction? First and foremost, Pat P., the trade, trading out of the 12th spot to the 32nd spot. What was your reaction then? What was your reaction to seeing that happen?
Well, my first reaction was, obviously, when you see things like that, you know, the guy that they wanted, you know, wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they felt like, you know, moving back, you know, a little bit, they will end up getting – you know, the guy that, you know, was probably second on their drafting chart. So, I really don't know the positioning game when it comes to, you know, moving out of draft picks and, you know, trading out of draft picks and things like that. I know it's all a big moving puzzle. And, I felt like, you know, obviously the guy who they wanted wasn't there. So they felt comfortable enough to move back a little bit to get a guy who they knew would possibly be there that can still provide a dynamic impact to this football team right away.
Yeah, and picking the safety, Lewis Seen, we felt like, Pat P., with our discussions, that the secondary would probably be an ideal spot to select a player in the first round. You know, we highlighted the cornerback position. Your guy, Derek Stingley, he was off the board, number 3, by the way. And oh, Pat P., guess what I did?
What'd you do?
So leading up to the draft. Leading up to the draft, I put money on Derek Stingley being the first corner to come off the board.
I knew you put a drizzy.
Hit that. Then I had the Jets taking Sauce Gardner at 4.
Ooh. Hit,
yes.
That was nice.
And Pat P.
That was nice. And you hit it in Vegas.
In Vegas. Back to back.
You got it right then and that. Right then and there.
Back to back. Back to back, like Drake say. Yeah. I got Stingley at first corner and I got Sauce at number 4. I knew I was going to have a great week. When that happened, I was like, I'm good.
That started off. Yeah, that started off a great week for sure.
Started off. So shouts out to everyone who saw my story because I actually put my bets on my story. So if you pay attention to my IG story and you followed my lead, you won some money as well. And if you didn't, maybe next time you take my advice. But taking the safety, let me give you a breakdown about the safety Lewis seen. Talented, hard-hitting safety, Pat P. You're going to love playing alongside him and watching his growth throughout his rookie campaign. One thing about Lewis seen, he loves to tackle. And when he gets to the ball carrier, he's getting there with bad intentions. He has sound, disciplined eyes, and he understands proper angles. And that's the thing about playing defensive back. You don't necessarily got to be the fastest guy, but if you utilize proper angles, that will put you in positions to be successful when it comes to tackling and when it comes to attacking the football. And he does both things well, and he seems to love the football game. He seems to love the game of football. And I think he's going to fit in nicely with what you guys already have in the secondary, especially in the back end with Harrison's Hitman Smith. I mean, what better vet safety would you want a young guy to learn from than Harrison Hitman? And let's talk about your experience, Pat P. When you come in as a rookie, when you have a very, very savvy vet to learn from, how beneficial is that for a young guy?
I think it's very beneficial from a young guy to, you know, pick anything from a guy who's been there and done that, you know, to kind of add nuances to your game and give you tools to help, you know, generate a long healthy career, you know, because, you know, obviously if a guy like Harrison is, you know, been at the top of his game for a very long time, going into year 11, you know, 6, 7, 8 odd, you know, something Pro Bowls, obviously he knows what he's doing. You know what I mean? So why wouldn't you want to learn from a guy of that stature and that has that type of resume to help you, you know, fulfill your dreams and fulfill some of the goals that you may have set out for yourself as a young NFL player as well.
And then going in the second round, Pat P, we felt like the cornerback would have been the first round selection. It wasn't, but the team doubled back in the second round, getting Andrew Booth in the second round. Cornerback, talented guy at Clemson. You know, what was your reaction to the team picking Andrew in the second round?
Andre, you know, I don't know, you know, much, you know, about Andre, but have an opportunity to see a couple of his highlights. A ball hawker, another guy that, you know, that loves to tackle, look like he has a great sound technique when it comes down to tackling. And, you know, also having a guy that, you know, I saw a couple of his interceptions, and it seemed to me like he had some very good ball skills, being able to track the ball with his ball with his back against the quarterback. So, you know, seeing a couple of his highlights, you know, he has, you know, all the intangibles to succeed in this league. Now it's all about, can he be able to do the things to sustain it?
So for me, Pat P, I watched a lot of Clemson's, you know, a lot of ball games involving Clemson, the Tigers. Andrew, like you said, he loves to tackle. Man, he will saw that leg off.
Yes, boy, he will.
Listen, he do a phenomenal job sawing that leg off. And listeners and viewers, what I mean when I say saw that leg off, cornerbacks are oftentimes taught to hit the farthest leg. That means the leg that's away from you. If you go get that leg, you're not missing a tackle. And that's something that he does, and he specializes in very, very well. He saws the leg off, and he does a great job in playing fast to the point of attack. And like you said, Pat P, also his ball skills. But one thing I love about Mr. Booth, the chippiness he plays with. He plays with the edge on his shoulder. I mean, it's a personal matchup. And I can't wait to see exactly how his game translates to the NFL. Now, one thing about Andrew, Pat P, he was a guy who had a first-round grade. The issue for him, what led him being available in the second round, was because he had a core issue that he didn't participate at the combine and pro day, and I think a groin issue as well. So he was dealing with injuries that prevented him from doing anything at the pro day or the combine that led to him being in the second round. So he didn't get a chance to run the 40 and do his drills. And that was something the Vikings benefited from because he was available. One would think if he did everything that he could have done, he would have been going in the first round because he is that type of talent. So technically for Minnesota, listeners and viewers, they got two first round guys with their first two picks and didn't have two first round selections. So that's a plus. And I think they should definitely be happy because the secondary instantly improved. I mean, when you look at the additions in the secondary, the cornerback position, Who do you think will potentially start opposite of you?
I think it'll be Cam. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be Cam coming out of the gate. You know, I think it'll be us two going in, and we'll see what happens. You know, I feel like, you know, with the talent that, you know, that we're bringing in, we bring guys that, you know, that's coming to compete and contribute to the team. So, mm-hmm. you know, even my spot's not, you know, 100%. And that's how I go to work each and every day. You know, I believe that's what keeps me hungry, and that's what keeps me young as well. You know what I mean? Having that chippiness on my shoulder as well, knowing that, you know, I have to fight. I feel like I have to fight for, you know, a position on this football team as well. So I think it's going to be, you know, a challenge in the cornerbacks competition for, you know, whoever's in that room at the end of the day.
Well, let me ask you this question, Pat P. Mackenzie Alexander, you know, it was a guy who was playing the slot corner for you guys all of last year. He's no longer there. So who do you believe will command the slot corner?
Nickel
guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're doing a lot of searching right now. You know, a lot of guys are in that position right now. So, you know, we haven't really been out on the field to, you know, to really put moving pieces together yet. You know, I think we get an opportunity to do that next week. So that's when we'll kind of have a first glimpse of, you know, seeing what group will be working together.
Yeah. And considering and thinking about Andrew Booth, up and coming corner for the Vikings, do you see yourself potentially mentoring Mr. Booth? What you laughing about?
Oh man. Did I see where this is going? I mean, for the most part, Matt, you know, I feel like, I don't know the definition of the word mentoring, but, you know, if I have a piece of knowledge that's going to help.
Helping.
I mean, yeah, I mean, if that's what it is, yes. You know, yes, I probably find myself mentoring Mr. Booth, you know, because at some point I don't want to leave this game with some knowledge that I know that helped me, that maybe can help someone further their career. You know, my time is in. You know, I'm 12 years in right now. What benefit is going to do for me holding on a piece of knowledge that I feel I can help the younger generation? You know, so yeah. I'm not going to be selfish and, you know, stingy in that regards or, you know, not relaying, you know, something that can help someone else, because that's just not the business I'm in. I mean, especially if he's on my team.
Yeah. And the definition of mentor is advise or train someone, especially a younger colleague.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if that's the definition, yes, I'll find myself mentoring.
And so what are your thoughts on what Ryan Tannehill said regarding Malik Willis?
I knew
that's
where you was going.
I just want to know what you. I just want to hear your thoughts. You know, what I mean, you've been in the league 12 years, Pat P. You came in not knowing anything at some point in time. So, what are your thoughts in here with Ryan Tannehill, who, oh by the way, plays the quarterback position, and we all know, like it or not, the quarterback is a leadership position, right?
No doubt about it.
So, what are your thoughts in here? What Ryan Tannehill had to say?
I mean, that was his. Those were his thoughts. That was his belief. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, I don't know. I think he was a guy that, you know, felt some pressure, knowing that his, you know, his job was at stake or whatever. So those are the things that came to his mind. I don't necessarily think he meant that. To be honest with you,
not Pappy. I think he meant it. Oh, he meant
it. I don't think he meant that.
He meant it, Pat P. He said it with so much conviction, and he said it. He didn't even, it just flowed like, no, it's not my job to mentor him. And my thing is this, Pat P. Like, we play a team-oriented sport where everyone has to be in their bag for us to be successful, right?
Right.
And you're right. It's not your job to mentor the young fella, but it's your job to help and show him the way. Because that would be a selfish thing for you to not do because someone did it to you. Someone helped you. At some point in time, someone had to help you learn the ropes on and off the football field. And for you to say, oh, it's not my job to be a mentor, and leave it at that, there lies an issue where you're like, okay, wait a minute. Because if he wasn't a threat, would you have said the same thing? Let's say he was a free agent, right? If he was a free agent, do you think Ryan Tannehill would have said the same thing?
No, that's why I said I feel like he definitely thought, you know, threatened by, you know, the draft choice and by him being, you know, being there. That's why I feel like it was, I don't think he was prepared for that answer. I mean, that question. So that's why he kind of, it was like, that's why, all right, yeah, that's not my job. Yeah. Boom. I don't think he thoroughly thought about it. That's why I felt like he didn't mean the answer he gave.
Yeah. I hope you're right. I mean,
and he could have been it. I'm just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Because like you said, someone gave their time to you to show you something to help put you in the position that you're in right now. So why be selfish on like well, Ryan, I think me and Ryan the same year, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's year 11, year 12. So what you holding on for? I mean, quarterbacks longevity a little bit longer than other positions on the football field, but
not longer.
Yeah, but at the same time, but why would you want to hold on to something? Because at the end of the day, look at it this way. If you get hurt, God forbid, we don't want you to get hurt, knock on wood. And we need Malik yes, in the next three games.
And you hold him back information.
Yeah. You ain't giving him what he needs to go in the game and be prepared to help your team win these pivotal games until you get back in. You selling your team short.
And you're going to lose. You're going to lose ball games.
Exactly.
You're going to lose ball games. Ryan Tannehill was in the 2012 draft pack.
So he's a year after me. Yeah.
He's 34. My thing is this, like I said, I felt like the best way to answer that question is not my job to mentor him, but I am here to help. I am here to assist and help guide him. You know what I mean? Whatever he may need from me on and off the football field, it's my job as a good teammate to be able to share the things that I've learned.
Right. You have to share everything. Yeah, it might be something that you learned as a rookie. When I was a rookie, boom, this is how I learned how to study. Okay, boom. You know what I mean? Just small things like that.
And iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Like, it's his job to put heat on me. It's my job to keep him off me.
Exactly.
Right? Like you just said, you got to earn your job. You got to earn your starting position. Mm-hmm. Right? They drafted a guy in the second round. Booth might, hey, Pat P, you know, what do you do in off technique when you got to do? You're going to share knowledge. But at the end of the day, I understand what you're trying to do. You should come in trying to take my job. That's what you're supposed to do. You want to try to take it, but it's my job. Nah, not right now. I ain't ready to give it up yet.
Exactly.
So every day you go to work, you know I got to go ahead and get better. I can't be complacent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you have threats at something that you're doing, they won't allow you. You won't be complacent because, you know, I can't afford to sleep.
Ain't no room for error.
That's like when you went to LSU, Pat P, you were loaded with five stars all around you. They recruited you as a five star. The next year they're gonna get another five star up and coming, maybe the Morris Claibornes of the world. You like, man, shoot. I was the hot thing last year. I gotta stay the hot thing again this year.
Man, that was always my mentality, man. Like
exactly.
I was a five star last year. They getting somebody to replace me next year.
No question. It's your job to make those guys wait. And 100%. I feel like that's something that Ryan Tannehill really didn't display, and he handled it wrong. But let's see how everything play out. And if you, Malik Willis, hearing that, now I am a threat now because you don't want to help me. I'm coming in with intentions of being a threat now. We're going to be teammates, but just know I'm coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we gotta see how that play out. Another question I have regarding the draft, going back to the draft, do you think there are any issues, Pat P, with the Vikings trading back with two divisional opponents, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the Lions and then the Packers? In both situations, the Lions selected a wide receiver and the Green Bay Packers selected a wide receiver as well.
No, not really. Like I said, I understand the draft. The draft is a big moving puzzle. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, those picks were where Detroit and Green Bay were sitting. They felt comfortable with, you know, those selections. So I don't see that being, you know, a problem with them trading, you know, draft picks to divisional foes.
Yeah, yeah. And other picks, I know our Viking fans love dissecting the draft and getting your thoughts on the draft. Other picks that stand out for me, Pat P, day two and day three guys, I look at Brian Asamoah, linebacker from Oklahoma. Pat P, he can go. Boy, he can go, Pat P. He's like a tweener. He's like a safety, hybrid safety linebacker type guy. But boy, when I tell you he can go, you guys got him in the third round, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, in the third round. He got him in the third round. Pat P. When I tell you he can go sideline to sideline, when he get there, he gets there in a bad mood. He's the type of driver that drives with no seatbelt. He's just reckless. Organized chaos is what I like to say. And I wouldn't be surprised, man, to see O'Brien, man, getting some significant snaps at some point in time in his rookie campaign. He can go. Another guy I like, second round, Ed Engram out of LSU. I think he has an opportunity. Sorry. Yeah, you know, your former Tiger, Gordon Tiger, add some depth to the offensive line. And last for me, Jalen Naylor from Michigan State. Played some big-time football for Michigan State. I mean, he got drafted. He was picked 191. I mean, could be a long shot, but I really liked his game coming out of Michigan State as well. So those are some other picks that stood out to me when you talk about guys that were not first or second-round picks. Real quick, some interesting news that broke, Pat P, before we let you go. We've seen a few games have been released regarding the Minnesota Vikings. Second week of the season. Monday Night Football, by the way, that's a doubleheader, right? You got one game at 7:15, another game at 8:15. I think you guys are on an 8:15 slate, if I'm not mistaken. But Monday night, the Eagles in Philly.
Yeah.
In Philly. Pat P, Mr. A.J. Brown. How does it feel having an early national televised game on Monday night? Second week of the season, Pat P. That's prime time. That's early prime time too.
Yeah, that's that first. That's that first between that first 3 weeks of school. So you know, everybody. You know how it is now. Everybody gonna come back to school watching that. Talking about that Monday Night Football on that Tuesday. So it's gonna be a lot of fans, viewers watching that game for sure. But having it in Philadelphia is gonna be even bigger. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just their fans and the night game.
Oh, man.
How rowdy they are. Those guys coming off of not as in a successful season as they won, I believe, losing in the first round to Tampa Bay, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, finding ways to win and get themselves in position to be competitive again. I know the fans are definitely going to be dialed into that game. I love playing in Philly, you know, so that's one of my favorite places.
Anytime you play in Philly, you ball out pretty good in Philly. Anytime I know your career.
I always have a pretty good game there in Philly. So hopefully we can keep that going on a national stage. Then I think week four we go to London.
Yeah, y'all go
to
London.
So this will be my second time going to London.
How's that experience for you, Pat P, going to London?
It's cool because, you know, I've been there before. So everything was, you know, I spent a bunch of time in London before. So everything honestly was pretty chill, you know, just pretty much treating it as a day-to-day life as we was in the States. So only difference was just the atmosphere was different at the football game. You know, that was the only difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, having the opportunity to go back out to London for a second time is going to be great. The last time we went, I think my daughter, Peyton, she was two. She'll be six this time, and my youngest daughter will be two. So it'll be her first time in London. So it'll be pretty cool for the family to kind of reunite, you know, Peyton with London and kind of introducing it to Parker. So those two games that have come out so far are some very exciting games for sure.
Yeah, and also, too, later this week, the full schedule will be revealed. Are you tuning in for that revealing to see exactly who you guys playing, when and where and things like that? Is that like a big deal for you? Just kind of getting an early start on your schedule?
Actually, I think we already know who we're playing. We just don't know.
Yeah, you know your opponents, but
yeah.
Thursday, yes. You get the actual schedule when you're playing the guys.
I'm not looking forward to any games, you know, but I take that back. Who do we have on that schedule? I definitely want to beat the Cardinals. I definitely want to beat them because I think we got them. They come to us this time.
Yeah. Of course, you know, Green.
Oh, obviously. Yeah, you know, those are divisional games. So, we want to win all of those. That's a given. Mm-hmm. I wonder what all the games is on the schedule. But that's one I'm looking forward to again for sure.
All right. So let me get your home opponents. Of course, you got Chicago, Green Bay,
yeah.
Detroit, you got Dallas, you got the Giants, you got Arizona, you got the Jets, and you got the Patriots. That's the home schedule. That's the home schedule. Man, I'm gonna, I can't remember the last time the Patriots ever played in Minnesota. That's all the Jets. All right, so you want the away schedule?
Yeah. Oh, Dolphins. Yeah, I definitely want to. I think we played the Dolphins. I would love to win there. I never won in Miami before in my career.
So you go to Philly, you go to Washington, you go to New Orleans. Oh, that's London.
That's London.
You got Buffalo and you got Miami.
Yeah, Miami.
And the Colts. You got the Colts at home also.
Yeah, so I go to Miami.
Hopefully, y'all don't go to Buffalo in late December.
Yeah, it gets super cold there.
Oh, you go to the crib. You go back to South Florida.
Yeah, Miami. Dolphins in the car. I'm looking forward to those games.
That's what you're looking forward to?
Yeah.
All right, well, listeners and viewers, what games are you looking forward to? And also, too, I gave a little, you know, insight about my favorite day two and day three picks. Let us know who you're excited to see from the draft picks that the Minnesota Vikings selected a few weeks ago. What's some of your favorite picks? Let us know. Load up our comment box, and sometimes we get to them on the show. Pat P, last question before I let you go. What you got in store for your clique game this upcoming season? Anything? What you think about?
You know, Matt, honestly, I haven't really been like really crazy into the cleats for a while now since, you know, I like to be locked in with my shoes and the older cleats that, you know, my collection, they're a little bit too bulky. You know, they're not innovative enough into today's game. So I had to put them on the top shelf, coach. So I'm a rock with my Nike Elites I've been rocking with the last two seasons, all black, just blacked out. Mike Tyson, Iron Mike style, black glove, black sleeve.
You can't give me no color.
I mean, I might need a little color, but for the most part, that's why I've been rocking lately. It's just black cleats.
I like when I see what color. Like, you give me some white joints with the white.
The only thing is just when we go to all white, my signature is the black sleeve. So it's hard to go black sleeves with some white stuff.
What made you start wearing that black sleeve? Because you wasn't wearing that black sleeve at LSU. You wasn't when we first got in the league. What made you start wearing the black sleeve?
Man, you want to know a real story, bro? Why I start wearing the black sleeve? Man?
I want to know the significance in the sleeve. Yes, I don't know. And I'm like, well, where does this come from? Because I look at all your stuff at LSU. You know, you had the wrist tape, the wristband. Early on in Arizona, same thing. So what happened? What's up with the black sleeve?
Unity, man. Just unity. Just with all the George Floyd, all the just, you know, injustice with, you know, just blacks and just how we've been treated, you know, just how we've been overlooked. You know, that's why I started wearing all black too.
Really?
Yep. All black. Ever since all the, so I've been doing about probably since 2019, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the black sleeve got incorporated. I've been wearing it ever since.
And what made you to decide to select what your left arm? Is that what you wear it on?
Yeah, it's on my left arm. I just, you know, the reason I chose the left arm because that's, I don't know, it's just my watch arm. My grandfather always told me that's the man side.
Yeah, you got to wear your watch. You got to wear your but, hey, my granddaddy told me the same thing. He said a man wears his watch on his left wrist. Remember that.
Yeah,
I said, I'm like, what? He said, remember that. Your man wears his watch on his left wrist. So it's funny that Uncle Buster told you the same thing.
Yeah, man. So that's the reason why I started wearing the black sleeve. To me, it resembles unity.
Uh-huh.
And just with us blacks, just always prevailing and finding a way, but having to do a better job of having each other back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's where the black sleeves come from.
That's where the black sleeve come from. All right. I see what you're doing. And now you talk about, you know, the George Floyd incident some years ago. Now you're playing in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Playing in Minnesota. So you're right there, you know. In the heart of everything that took place some years ago, and people still talking about to this day, and you know, his family still and friends that are close associates to him, you know, still keeping his name alive. And that's unique. I didn't know what the significance was to the black sleeve, but I get what you're putting down. And yeah, you still can add a little color. You can keep rocking the black sleeve. You can rock the black sleeve.
Hey, Mac.
You can still add a color to the cleat game, though.
Hey, another quick.
What you got?
Another funny story. So, like I told you, I wear black every single day. So the joke in my house is, my kids always, like, every time they see daddy, I'm always in all black. Only time I really don't wear all black is probably on the weekends or, like, when I'm hanging out with them.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter was like, you know, daddy, why do you always have on all black? I was like, you know, daddy's like Batman. You know, anytime you see Batman, you'll never see him with his cape off. So she's like, then she started thinking about, she's like, Batman, Batman. So boom, some time go by. This happened like maybe when I first started wearing all black. So some time go by. So I come out from out of town, you know, I pull up in my all black. She goes, daddy, is that the only thing you're going to wear is all black? So in my house, my uniform is all black. So on the weekends, I cannot wear all black because I'm technically off.
Oh, so on the weekend, you got to wear colors.
I got to wear colors on the weekend.
That's the unwritten rule.
Unwritten rule.
I like it. In the Peterson household, you got to wear something that's not black related.
Yeah. And on the weekends, exactly. I can't. Monday through Fridays, I can wear all black. Yeah. On weekends, I can't wear all black.
And people don't realize, like, during training camp, Pat P, man, guys wear the same outfit almost every day.
Every day. Hey, it's getting washed.
It's going to get washed. Like, no question. You don't have to pack anything. You can take a little bowling ball bag to training camp.
And you only
need one outfit and one pair of socks. Because when you go to practice, they can wash you with your laundry bag or whatever the case may be. And you put your outfit on, your uniform, and then when you shower up, you put what you just wore this morning. The same
100%.
That's what makes training camp so grueling, because you see the same, you see all the guys in the same outfit every day. Hey, that's my first training camp. I packed the whole luggage like I was going away on vacation, man. I had all kinds of Nike shorts in there, Jordan shorts, different shoes. But I'm wasting all these good outfits.
Right.
You don't see nobody. You only see people in the facility.
That's it.
In the cafeterias, yeah. So training camp, man. Listen, you can take it. You actually can take a book bag,
right?
Just have your toiletries in there, whatever you need. That's it. Yeah. All right. I got you. But Pat P, you still can give me some color in the cleats.
I may change up.
I'm starting early. It's May. We got a whole 3 months before the season. You got a whole 3 months to get things in line.
Yep. I got you.
I need to see some color. That's it. You can keep the black sleeve because I know it's sentimental to you. But you can give me some color in the cleat game.
All right.
And then this is what you do. You first game of the season, y'all probably going to open up with Detroit. First game of the season. Dang, boy, let's see that hat. Let's see if that hit when the schedule come out. Y'all play Detroit first game of the season or anything I love, Pat P. Anything I love, I'm going to play the lottery on Friday. Yeah. Yeah, I'll play Detroit home or away first game of the season.
I'm sure that's a bet. Why won't you bet it? They got a bet for everything.
Eric, find out. Yeah, you're right. That's a bet. I'm gonna put it down right now. So y'all need to do the same thing. First game of the season, Pat.
It's gonna be a divisional opponent.
If it's Detroit,
sure.
if it's Detroit, Pat P. If you give me color first game of the season, and you get a pick, you know you got to give me color the next week.
It's gonna be Monday night.
It's a deal. That's gonna be a deal. All right.
All right. We'll see.
Is that fair?
We'll see. That's fair. I got to get some of that. Yeah. That's fair.
So week one against Detroit, give me color. You get a pick. Week two Monday night gig. You gotta give me color.
Deal.
And you gotta ride that color until you don't.
Hey, you know, man, you didn't say all that. You just said give me a color.
No. Hit me out, Pat P. Hit me out. Listen to me. No. Listen to him. I'm about to let you go. I know it's late.
Okay.
If you get a pick in color week one and you double it back week two and you get another pick in color, you know you got a rock color in week three.
All right, I got you. That's a deal. That's
if
a
you
deal.
Start the season off with two picks, first two That's games, you can't change nothing.
That's a deal. You're right. Right?
You know how I go. You know how I go. You know how we do. You can't change nothing.
Got to keep it going. Got to keep it going. You're right.
It's hot. You can't get up the blackjack table when you don't stop when you just hit blackjack three times.
Keep it going.
You don't cash in and say, you know, that's enough.
Then you double up.
So let's first thing, Detroit week one, when the schedule come out and I'm hit your phone, boy, y'all play. Yeah, you know what? Let me check my account. Let me see if I can figure out what the schedule is. Because I'm going to put some money on the line right now, like I did Stingley and Sauce Gardner. People laughed at me like, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's what we need. Let's see what happens, ladies and gents. But Pat P, man, listen. Always nice catching up with you.
Yes,
getting
sir.
Ready. Getting ready. As Pat P is in Minnesota right now, the guys are working out. Is the majority of the team still there right now? I mean, everybody's still hands on deck?
Yeah. Everybody's still here, baby, locked and loaded.
So it's serious business. I like it.
Hey, man.
I like it.
We got big goals on our mind, man. We're trying to get the damn thing.
You trying final game of the season, you trying to get to Arizona.
No doubt about it.
That's the final game of
100%.
The season.
Yep.
And I'll be there.
100%.
You can't wear a black suit though, Pat P.
You never know. No, I got a bunch of them too.
I know you do. You can't act like you're going to a funeral.
I got some fire suits now. I know you got fire suits. Only wear the all black early in the season. Then once it gets a little cold, that's when I bring out the color, switching it up with the fall and the winter and all that stuff. But yeah, I will not have a black suit for a game because I typically because I'm a two suit pony. So I wear all black. Maybe wear all black there, and I switch it up and pull out one of my new ones on game day.
Okay, that's what you call stunting right there for you who don't know. That's what you call stunting. That's what you call stunting. Well, ladies and gents, thank you for joining us, Brian McFadden, Patrick Peterson, all things covering everything related to football. This episode, Minnesota Vikings recapping the draft. Hey, until next time, see you when we see you. Peace.
Yes, sir. Peace.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.